If you've got your Bible with you, turn to Hebrews 12. That's where we're going to hang out today. I have been very blessed by Hebrews recently, and I get bored of things very quickly, and so I decided to read Hebrews backwards. So as you can tell, I'm not very far, because there's only 13 chapters, and I'm on 12. But anyway, I've been really enjoying it. So anyway, yes. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for inviting me. It feels like wherever you go in the world, there are people who love Jesus, and it feels like family, doesn't it? I think it's such a privilege. I saw there was an advert up there earlier for some of the Churches Together events, and those are another really great opportunity for us to be church together in Eastleigh. But this is just lovely. So thank you for inviting me. Right. I think... First, shall I read the Bible first? Let's start with the Bible. That's the best place to start. Okay, so we're going to Hebrews 12, and I'm going to sort of read until I'll stop. I think up to verse 6, that's where we'll go today. So, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Oh, it's such a great chapter. If you can go home and read the rest, it would be great. a really great chapter. Okay, I don't know if many of you like doing exercise. I'm not sure many people love doing exercise. It's usually hard work. So my brother got married about 2 years ago. No, oh my goodness, 3 years ago. Life's going so quickly. And he married this wonderful lady, Cassandra, and she is really cool and really sporty. And ever since I met her, I was just in awe. She's done 3 London marathons and a bunch of others. I'm like, how many marathons do you need to do? But anyway, she's very sporty. And so quite a few years ago, I decided... Actually, I need to up my game, and I need to do a big race, sort of to prove myself, I think, but also because I was like, actually, that's a really noble thing to train for, and that would be a good idea. So I decided, I signed up at Christmas, and it was my New Year's resolution, I signed up to do the Southampton Half Marathon. This is, I think, 2 years ago now. And I decided I'm going to train for it, it's going to be great, I paid for my ticket thing, and I'm not really the best runner, so I wasn't very well prepared, but I got an app on my phone and was like, I'm going to stick to the training schedule that my app tells me to do. And so some days the training schedule would be like an hour's run, or like one day that was 2 hours and 2 minutes was how long I had to run for. And so I was living in Fair Oak at my mum's at the time, and I just ran to Eastleigh and ran back and was like, this is so boring. And there was just like cars and like nothing nice to look at, and it was rather boring. And so I decided I'm going to start running in more pretty places. So one day I was going for my training run, and I was in Stoke Park Woods, and I was going around, and as you can tell, it's a woods, so there are trees and there are roots on the ground, okay? And so it was already the sort of thing where I have to focus. But as I probably have already mentioned, I have a very short attention span, and I get distracted quite easily. And so I didn't really have the right running gear either. So you know how runners have those strappy phone arm things? I didn't have that. I just had my phone in my hand, and my headphones were on, and so they were kind of flailing about, and I didn't have my hair up. I was like running around like a crazy wild person, and I didn't even have, like, you know, runners wear like slick clothes. I just was wearing like tracksuit things, and I was like, right, we're gonna do this, come on Tori. And anyway, so I was running, and then my friend sent me a Snapchat. Now, if you don't know what Snapchat is, it's basically a video message. And so she sent me this video message, and it was like, and I opened it because I get distracted easily, and it was already quite boring because I'd been running for like 45 minutes. And she was there like, hi, what are you up to? And I was like, I'm going to reply while I'm running, because how hilarious would that be? So I'm running along and I'm like, hi, I'm just on a run. I'm just training for my... Ah! And then I trip over this huge root that's on the ground and this branch like hits me in the face and it's all very confusing. And suddenly I'm rolling down this bank in like Fair Oak and there's no one else around. So I'm like, I could die. And I'm rolling and rolling and then a tree's there and that... stops me, thankfully, and it really wasn't that much further anyway, so I would have been fine, but I'm, like, covered in bruises, and I've got, like, twigs in my hair, and my headphones are goodness knows where. I don't think I ever found them, actually. I just lost them in the roll, and I tried to find them, but they were brown, and so I couldn't find them in the leaves and things. Anyway, I seriously had issues on that day, not only because of my bad preparation, because I didn't have the right gear, but also because I really wasn't focusing and there were things in my way. And so when we read this passage, there's all sorts of pictures in the New Testament, especially, of what the Christian journey is like. And Paul here, or, well, the writer to the Hebrews, though I think it's Paul, he says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, so that we may run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So Paul is saying the Christian journey is like a race. And training for a race was hard work. And that's just one story of my many hard runs that I went through. So Paul is saying, you know, it's going to be hard work. Don't expect it to be easy. The Christian life is not a walk in the park. It is a run with headphones in the park. And it requires training. That's the thing. It requires training. And it requires constant discipline. And that's really what this whole chapter is about. It's about the discipline that we need as Christians. So verse 1, we need to let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. I wonder what that is in your life. I wonder what the sin that so easily entangles might be. And as it was with my run, it's not necessarily... Sin isn't just stuff that we do wrong, though it is that. It's the stuff, you know, we're badly prepared. I've got my headphones. It is the stuff that we do wrong. Not that wearing headphones is a sin, but this is the analogy. But it's also stuff that just is wrong. It's the stuff that's in our way. It's the stuff in the world that just is wrong. The culture that says, actually, no, that's fine, when really it's not fine. And the culture that says, yeah, this is all right, just a little bit, you'll be fine, no one will know. That it's the stuff that just is wrong, it's in the world and it's out there. The thing is, with training, there needs to be resistance. So when you go to the gym, I don't ever go to the gym, by the way. It smells like feet. But if you go to the gym, and you would never get to the machine, you know the machine where you do that, you wouldn't strap yourself in, and then the machine doesn't move for you, because your arms would just be moving, and you wouldn't be growing any muscle. You wouldn't be building any strength. In order for there to be any muscle built, you need to have resistance. There needs to be some sort of thing you're pushing against. And I think that's really what Paul's getting at here. He's saying, you know, there is stuff in the world in front of us, the sin that easily entangles us, and there is stuff that we need to get rid of. We need to resist it, because that's what's going to make us strong and victorious. That's what's going to build our muscle and help us to stand strong and firm. And we know this from elsewhere in the Bible. So in Romans, I'm sure you know the verse, Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. You know, is that the pattern that's just going to move our arms? Are we just going to go along with what the world says? Are we just going to let that move us? Or are we going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds? And then it goes on to say, because then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, if we are going to run this race, we want to do it well, don't we? And we want to do it in a way that's good, pleasing, and perfect, according to God's will. So it goes on. Let us run the race with perseverance, let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. So I say it's marked out for us. God has got this plan. He's got this will. He's got this purpose for us. It's not like we're blindly just going to run like me in the woods. Just, that might work. It's marked out for us. Then it says, verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, that's the thing about an author. An author knows the beginning and the end of the story, don't they? There's no, like, spoiler alert for the author. They've written the story. The author has written the characters into the story. He knows the whole plot and knows how it goes everywhere. And the thing is with Jesus being the author and perfecter of our faith is that he has written each of your stories. Now, that's not to say there's no free will in there, but that's a bigger subject. But God has planned and purposed you for such greatness and for such just a wonderful future. He knows the plans that he has for you, and he knows that that plan is a good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so the best way for us to be able to follow that will and to be able to live up to the purpose that he has for us is to fix our eyes on him, as it says in verse 2 here. And he knows our best. Later on, it goes on to say, I didn't read this bit yet, but it's in verse 10. Our fathers, our earthly fathers, disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. I mean, that really is a good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's perfect because we get to share in God's holiness. We don't just have to try and make ourselves the best that we can be. We get to share in his holiness. I mean, that's just amazing. So Jesus is the author of our faith. He knows the whole plan, but he's also the perfecter of our faith. He's the one that enables us to cast off that which entangles us, to resist that evil that it might be. I mean, you think in your own minds what it might be. You know, it might be that friendship group that actually it's a little bit too easy to turn into gossip. Or it might be that really difficult situation at home where actually you could let that be the thing that moves you. But actually, Jesus says, no, I have a better plan for you. I want you to run this race with perseverance. I want you to resist that evil that's in your life because that not only helps you to stand strong, but it makes you stronger. Only in resistance are we going to be able to grow in adversity? So, he's the author and he's the perfecter of our faith. And so only by fixing our eyes on him can we throw off that sin and grow in adversity. This last little bit, such a good chapter. It goes on to say, so let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he is a king. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, and yet he endured the cross. So I mean, I don't know hardly any of you very well at all. I don't know what's going on in your lives or the things that we're coming up against, whether that's stuff out there or stuff in our hearts that we know isn't quite right. But we know that actually, when it comes to who we're training with and who we're running with, Jesus has already gone ahead and he's already been through that adversity. It's like we were singing earlier, I cast my mind to Calvary. Death, where is your sting? There is no more. We don't have to worry about where the end of the race is because actually we know that Jesus has already conquered that. He's already victorious over it. And so that, I mean, that's just such an amazing encouragement, isn't it? When we can see all these things in the world that we're like, well, that's not great, and that's not great, that could entangle me, that could trip me up, this could be an issue. Actually, we don't have to worry about that because Jesus is running alongside us, and he's already been through it. He's endured the cross. And why did he endure the cross? Well, it says, for the joy set before him. And do you realize the joy that is you guys, that's us? The joy of Jesus was that he gets to have relationship with us. Now, if relationship with you and me is worth death on the cross, I mean, relationship with Jesus, that must be worth so much more. And what a privilege we have to be in this journey, to be in this race. So, yeah, Paul's right. It is really hard work. You know, we see in the Gospels, Jesus says it's a narrow road that leads to salvation, and wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many people will go on that. So, yeah, we know that it's going to be hard work, but if relationship with us is worth dying on the cross, then relationship with Jesus must be worth immeasurably more. So we do have that wonderful goal in mind. We can fix our eyes on Jesus and know that he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so whatever resistance we're coming up against, know that that's going to be building you up and growing you into a more mature and obedient disciple, and that eventually is going to be worth so much more than sometimes we can see in front of us. So that's all I really have to say. I want to just read that last bit where he says, "No discipline," this is verse 11, "no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful." This is what we're talking about. It can be painful, and Jesus knows that as well as Paul. "Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms, church, and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. So however broken you may feel, know that you can keep going when you have your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Amen. I don't know what's happening next, but the lovely Anna will come up and...
Thank you. I think we've just...